I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Inside sources. Where KSL offers Utah deeper insights on the news. Host Boyd Matheson divides rage from reason
and elevates the conversation on issues crucial to our community.
On KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Well, Inside Sources today has just been a string of extraordinary executives and leaders from across the spectrum of the tech sector to the entrepreneurial space, but all about this idea of learning, connecting, and serving. And really thrilled to have joining us back on the program. It's been just a little while. Davis Smith, of course, who founded Cotopaxi, which is a mission-driven organization itself that is an amazing story. And we're getting to these principles of how do we make a difference? How do we sustain the excellence? How do we add value to others? And, Davis, I know one of the things that you did just in the, within the summit alone is working with Silicon Slopes to make sure that some refugees, some immigrants that have come in could also be part of this great event.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is one of the greatest events of the year in Utah. And increasingly, I've just felt like, you know what, we value so much. We value diversity in our state, and we have so much diversity of people from different parts of the world, including refugees and new immigrants that oftentimes are starting from zero. And I just felt, you know what, we want them here. And if we want the best for our state, we want them to participate in what we're doing, and we want to open doors for them. And so I reached out to the Silicon Slopes team and proposed a couple ideas of what we might do, and they were 100% in. And so we teamed up to basically give free access to refugees and new Americans as they, you know, if they want to come and join. So we had a pretty large group of people that applied, and we gave them all tickets. And tomorrow I'm actually holding a VIP mixer event where we're having a bunch of the tech community here that's engaging with them and interacting. And a few weeks from now, I'm going to hold a boot camp, an entrepreneur boot camp for them as well at the Silicon Slopes office.
Wow. That is America at its finest. That is the Utah model at its finest. And it is this whole idea of America. We've been talking about it in terms of that access, that it is, it's not often that it's really about the access to money. It's the access to people.
Yeah.
And those connections are so vital.
Absolutely. I mean, I look at, I've built a few different businesses before, and every time it gets a little bit easier because my network's bigger.
Yeah.
I know more people. I have more mentors. I'm learning from people. When you are new to the country, and maybe even English is your second language, you have some real challenges. And so opening up these doors and welcoming them and helping them feel like they're part of our community is, I think, really important.
So important. And it bridges the gap and fills in a lot of those cracks where often you do have these, whether it's a refugee or a new citizen in the country, and they may have brought great skills from their homeland. But they may not be able to apply because they don't have that connection, or they don't quite know how to navigate the system in terms of starting a business or getting that next level education. Tell us about how we can think maybe a little differently about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of times we assume that refugees or immigrants maybe lack education or something. But to your point, a lot of them don't. I mean, I was up at the University of Utah, this is a couple of years ago, speaking at an event. They had some food that was being served, and the man behind the counter serving the food, he had a name tag on, Jose, and I was like, hey, Jose. And I grew up in Latin America. I actually moved there when I was four. And so my parents are Canadian and American, so I'm like, I don't look Latin at all, but I spent so much of my life there. And I started talking to him, and he was telling me how grateful he was to be back on a campus. And I said, well, what do you mean? Did you used to work at... And he's from Venezuela. And he said, yeah, I was a law professor in Venezuela. And now he's serving our food.
Wow. Wow.
And so these are people that come from so many varied backgrounds. They're so talented. You look at amazing companies like Chobani, the yoga company, multi-billion-dollar company started by an immigrant.
Yeah.
Over 50% of the unicorns, the billion-dollar companies in the United States, have an immigrant co-founder.
Yeah.
So we need them part of our community, and we know that as businesses, we have the best outcomes when we have diverse teams. There's all sorts of data that says this. So let's build more diverse teams, and let's welcome these people to be part of our community.
Oh, I love that. And especially as we look at refugees coming in, so often from a government standpoint, they get looked at more as a liability to be managed, as opposed to what our entrepreneurs do and look at them as an asset to be developed and a unique gifts that they bring that can bring that diversity and success to an organization.
Absolutely. The other interesting thing, Boyd, is that they refugees actually take 5 years after they've arrived, they take welfare at a lower rate than native-born Americans.
Yeah.
And they start businesses at a rate like I can't remember the exact numbers. I think it's two or three times.
Yeah.
The rate of a native-born American, because they come here, they're so scrappy, they're risk-takers, and so they're willing to go try new things. And so, man, they're such a great asset to our state.
Yeah, and they're such a great model. That scrappiness is one thing that I just love, and it's one of the things we feel here at Silicon Slopes today. There are some scrappy folks in the building that are making things happen. And whether it's a new immigrant or a refugee coming to the country, or whether it's someone who's maybe just been kind of stagnant, or maybe during the course of the pandemic has kind of settled and kind of gone to that comfort zone of mediocrity. I know tomorrow you're going to be on the stage talking about the future of work and how do we actually engage and really get people thriving, whether it's a remote, hybrid, whatever it might be.
Yeah, you know, this is really fun. I'm excited about this panel tomorrow. So we've got some great people. We had a roundtable. You just had Jonathan Johnson on. Yeah. And we were at Overstock a few weeks ago with a roundtable of CEOs, and we talked about the future of work. And it was amazing because there were perspectives from every angle. Like at Cotopaxi, I was the biggest believer in being in the office before the pandemic. I never had worked at home, not once. I discouraged people from working home. If they joined our team, they had to move to Utah. And then when the pandemic began, I realized this works. And actually, there's some incredible advantages to this. And I have to say, like, I was a better dad and I was a better partner. I was like out doing the dishes in between a break. I was like helping change a diaper and help potty train my little boy. And it was like, I loved it. And it was like, you know what? I'm never going back. I'm not going to go back to the way it was.
Yeah.
And I found I was more focused. And we started building a team of more diverse people from all over the country. And so this was the perspective I have. You know, we just embraced remote work. Now we're 100% remote.
Wow.
We still have our office. Some people show up every day. But we are remote first. Then we had like Joseph from the founder of Neighbor. And they're the exact opposite. They never left the office. And he's like, now everyone has to move to Utah if they get hired, just like we used to do. And you know what? It works for him, too. And there are people that want that, that are desperate to go into the office every day. And so I don't think there's one right way.
Yeah.
I think there's every business is different. The business's needs are different. Their culture is different. And so we're going to have a great discussion with the two of us and Jeremy Anders from Traeger, who's kind of somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
And then Sid Tetro, she's CEO of Brandless, an amazing leader. And she has a really unique perspective about how this impacts women and minorities and others. And so it should be a really fun discussion.
That'll be great. And Sid's my neighbor. Well, we had her on a little earlier in the program today.
Oh, it doesn't surprise me.
Sid is awesome and great discussion. Before I let you go, Davis, just give us a quick update. Cotopaxi to me has always been this epitome of mission driven, of not just making a dollar, but really making a difference. Just give us a quick update in terms of some of the lives you're touching and changing, not just through great products, but a great culture and organization.
Yeah, no, I'd love to. Thank you for asking. I'm so as passionate as I am about the outdoors and adventure. And, I'm more passionate about impact. And last year, we helped almost 1.3 million people living in poverty through our business. So we're a B Corp. We use our profits to support poverty alleviation. I'm a believer that we can eradicate poverty in our lifetimes, and I want to be part of that movement. And a lot of the work that I do is not just within Cotopaxi. It's really kind of one of the commitments I made from the day one of the business was I was going to lift my head up and do whatever I could to inspire other people to join us. And so I love talking to other business leaders about impact and helping them think about how they might inject impact into their daily work. But I'm just so proud to be part of a business that's making a difference in the world. We can do capitalism better.
Yeah.
You know, capitalism is amazing. I'm the world's biggest capitalist, and we can do it a lot better than we have, and we will.
Yeah, fantastic. That is a thought for the day. That's a think again moment for the day. Capitalism does work. It's lifted millions out of poverty over the years, and we can do it better.
We can.
And the impact can be greater. David Smith from Cotopaxi. We're broadcasting live all day today here for Inside Sources from the Silicon Slope Summit. This is elevated thinking. This is high impact thinking. We'll take one last commercial break. Come back with some final thoughts. Stick around. We'll be right back.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.